welcome to NSTA, the Bus Stop. This is the official podcast of the National School Transportation Association. I am Kurt Mackison, Executive Director. Pleased to welcome back an old hand at the podcast. A few years back, used to be the leadoff batter for our Women History Month series. But now, Karina Noble, Senior Vice President of Communication and External Affairs at National Express. Karina, you're batting cleanup now, which is another important position, but welcome back to NSTA, the Bus Stop.
What a promotion, Kurt. Thank you for the invitation. Always happy to chat with you.
Great having you. You know, as I mentioned, we've gone through Women's History Month series for a few years now. It's been great. We've added some new guests to the podcast this year, which I thought was tremendous. Something that we discuss, and I've discussed with the previous guest, is mentorship and, you know, the value of an impactful mentor a person can have on someone else's career. So we know that you have someone in mind who made an impact, a huge impact on your career, Don Elliott Sr. So I want to kick it off by having you talk a little bit about John personally, and as well as the impact he had on your career.
Yes, John Elliott Sr. was a special man. Many call him a friend to all. I was so fortunate to call him a very good friend and a mentor. And so I know when we were talking about some of the topics we might discuss on this podcast, mentorship came up, and that's why I have such a soft spot in my heart for talking about folks who've helped others through their career, but especially folks who help coach others in their career. And I think that's so important. And John was a fantastic mentor. And there are many folks out there who are proud to call John not only a friend, but also a mentor. He was a wonderful coach. I think the thing that's really neat about great mentors is that even when they're not around, and in this case, we lost John in December too soon, you can still hear their voice. And so I still have John in my head coaching me as I'm going through situations and making decisions. He was really known for saying things like, ask the tough questions, encouraging you to push beyond your comfort zone to get to the right solution. And when we would talk through some of the challenges that I was facing at work, I'm one who, when I'm problem solving, I like to synthesize views. So I would sit there with John and be discussing challenges. And I would say, well, and this team wants to do this, and it makes sense for these people, and this leader is saying this, and this other group, this might work the best. And John, so great about him as a mentor, he would always remind me of the value of my own contribution. So he would often say, in the middle of my rambling about what all these other groups and people think and how it would impact others, he would say, what does Karina think? And so I remember moments like that. And as I'm going through and synthesizing information and thinking about the impact on different groups, I'll take a moment to myself and I can hear John say, what does Karina think? And it's just really powerful. And I think that's so special as a mentor. He not only helped me understand the industry, and he helped me understand National Express. He helped me better understand people. And again, he reminded me of the value of my own contribution. He's really why he was such a special mentor. And I think anyone you talk to who had the privilege of being able to work with John would talk about the way he treated people. And what's so wonderful about this huge network of people who work with John is that we help each other keep his memory and his wisdom alive. And when we have chances to talk about him on things such as this podcast, we'd always jump at that chance.
Yeah, what a tremendous legacy. And thanks for sharing, you know, your thoughts about mentorship, and certainly your thoughts about John Elliott Sr. He was a special person and he is missed. But as you say, his legacy still remains in the school bus industry. Now, another reoccurring theme that we've, you know, talked about throughout Women's History Month is the value of building your network. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we have people who don't know what an association is or what I actually do for a living. You know, you talk about a lot of the fundamentals, the advocacy, but you also talk about the networking. And I think that's so integral because it is one of those things where if you're not consciously thinking about, you know, networking, is it something that comes to you just intrinsically, you know, the value of networking? And if it doesn't, then really an association kind of puts you in that environment on a regular basis where you almost have to network, especially if you're at a live meeting. So can you talk a little bit about your experience with NSTA and the value of the network around the association?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you heard me say, Kurt, in all my years with NSTA, that we are stronger together? And I know we really proved that out during COVID. But I think when you think about the value that NSTA brings to all contractors, but especially to members, those who have access to each other, it's this network and it's the collaboration. And it's really quite strange that when I tell folks what we do, because a lot of folks don't understand what I do either, they just know it involves yellow school buses. But when we talk about the industry and the association, what is NSTA? And I said, oh, we're all competitors and we get together and we work together to make sure that important stakeholders understand the value of our industry and the role of school buses and school bus drivers and the importance of what we do. And it's really kind of a head scratcher for some folks that we would work so closely with our competitors in messaging. But it really is a way to actually also improve your own business. So even for some of the bigger companies who are members of NSTA, we don't always have all the answers. And so just within the past month, I know I have reached out to, let's see, First Student, SDA, Beacon, Cobasin, and Cook, Illinois with questions. We had a customer ask us about a technology, and some of our folks here said, gosh, we haven't had experience with this. Can you check and see if anybody else has? And so that's part of the value that being a member of NSTA brings you, is you have access to all of these colleagues who are trying to do the same thing you're doing, who have the same critical focus and importance on safety, and but have an opportunity to say, hey, have you done this? Have you tried this? And so collaboration is really key, of course, and advocacy. I'm sure that's probably going to be your next question. But if you put advocacy aside, the collaboration and the network within NSTA helps all companies because you have access to more information. And it helps individuals because you start to build these relationships that wouldn't probably happen in nature. And so I remember, I think it was last year, I was talking about these meetings. I've been coming to NSTA meetings for a very long time. I first got involved when Barry Stock was president. So I don't want to count how many years back that was. But I remember coming to these meetings and I kept thinking, guys, folks act look like they're having fun. But for me, it was just a job. It was my job. I had to go to this meeting and I was there. And here we are, fast forward many, many years. And I go to these meetings and I have fun because these folks have become friends and we work together. And so it's just that the network is really special, especially for introverts. I'm actually pretty much an introvert. And so to be able to go to these meetings and build these relationships is quite helpful because it makes it a little bit easier on me.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, during your presidency, you emphasize the stronger together aspect that people latch onto. And it's great that you're still, you know, kind of still using that theme, because there are any number of examples we can use, you know, in the regular kind of garden variety stuff that we do, where we can actually say we are stronger together as an organization. So applaud you for staying on message, which isn't always always something we see nowadays, right? With the advent of social media and us going from one thing to the next, right? But you did mention advocacy.
Oh, Kurt, I was just going to say, it's easy to stay on message when it's the truth and you can see it almost every day in your job.
Yeah, absolutely. That is true. It's sometimes we look at it and, you know, the politicians are always told stay on message, but you're right. It's like muscle memory. If it's something that you're doing all the time, it's not hard to, you know, keep that message alive and strong, because it's kind of ingrained in what you do as a professional. So, yep, I agree. I agree completely. Now, one of the areas that, you know, you've worked a significant number of hours with NSTA has been on the advocacy portion, you know, of the association. And I know that there are a number of different issues that, you know, we've addressed as an organization, but one that's, and it's actually going to be a twofold question for you. One is actually the advent of the electric vehicle, and it seems to have spawned a lot of activity, not just at the federal level, at the state level. So let's start there, Karina. I know that, you know, as an organization, we do put a focus on national issues that arise, but more and more, there's a lot of state activity that's important for us to address organizationally and on behalf of private school bus operations. So are there some things you've been working on at a state level that, you know, we're trying to bring more people in the fold to advocate, whether it's at the regulatory level or at the state legislatures?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of activity going on in the state level, similar to what we had been facing at the national level. And I know I've bent your ear on some of this and trying to look for some other additional solutions. But if you'll remember, originally, contractors were left out of the Clean School Bus Program. We were able to get that fixed, the language fixed in the Omni Bill. A similar situation has unfolded in the state of California. The governor has EV dollars in his budget, but contractors do not have access to those funds. So First Student and National Express have been working probably almost for 2 years to try and educate and advocate for a change in the state of California with respect to the EV dollars. And it's not just for our own companies, right? It's for the good of all contractors. And recently we've expanded our circle and we've reached out to some other competitors in the state and said, hey, like we are stronger together, but your voice matters. And the more that we can let folks in the administration at the state level understand that this is a problem, because there will be about 30% of school districts and school children who take the school bus will not have access to the governor's dollars for electric vehicles. And that's a problem. So we've been working to make sure contractors have access to those funds, just as we had to do at the federal level. And not one of us could do it alone. And that's what's so neat about it, is it's just another opportunity to work together for the betterment of all students, because all students should have access to an electric school bus should their districts decide they want it, regardless of what the status of their transportation is. And on a different note, but similarly with respect to EVs, in the state of Illinois, we were able to get a legislative change that would allow longer contract terms for contractors who are introducing electric vehicles. We were able to get that to 10 years. If you're going to invest in electric vehicles, you should have a longer contract with the school district. And that only happened because contractors were working together, educating and advocating in Springfield. And have to give kudos to John Benish for pulling that together. He said the state of Illinois had a contractors association. It slowed down and wasn't as active. And a few years ago, John Benish said, hey, we've got to get this back together because we're only going to make change and make things happen if we work together. And sure enough, we did. So yeah, there's a lot going on for it. Those are just two real, real recent examples of some success we've had, especially with the introduction of all the EV funds in California and Illinois. When the contractors work together, we tend to have better results.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you know, the issues, I guess, in California and Illinois, you know, certainly, you know, areas where contractors can band together. But also, you know, let's be mindful, too, that NSTA does exist to operate at the federal level. And each year, as you know, Karina, we go to Washington, D.C., and we go through the halls of Congress and we advocate for the industry at the Capitol Hill Bussin. In terms of folks who might be listening to this podcast, who maybe have a fear factor about engaging with their elected officials and haven't, you know, dipped their toe in the water, so to speak, in attending a Capitol Hill Bussin, do you have any advice for them? Because, you know, at one time, now you're the grizzled veteran and able to, you know, portray the position that you want to for NSTA and National Express. But you also started at some point attending bussins and, you know, weren't as experienced in it as you are now. So is there any advice you can give folks who may have seen a bussin advertisement but haven't taken that step to attend one?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, grizzled. Is that really the word we're going to use, Kurt? tenured maybe. But yeah, no, I've okay. Never been very very intimidated going to my first bus in. But what was fantastic about it is that I was never alone. It's not as if Prime Policy sent me into a room to message our cause for that year and tell our story by myself. So that was really helpful. And in fact, it was an opportunity to listen to other contractors and supplier members and OEM members talk about the industry. And so often I would find that while we were going there to tell our story and help promote student transportation, often I left these meetings learning something because of the other members of the team who had joined me and were able to speak up on their own behalf as well. So it started off being intimidating, but has gotten to a point where it has been quite fun and challenging. And it's a new way to meet folks and have an opportunity to really tell our story. And the neatest part about it is when you come away and you send your follow-up notes and you see that change has happened. And it's not always the case, but I know this year that, as I understand it, Kurt, from the list that was sent out, this year we were advocating for more co-sponsors of the Willarski bill and the legal passing bill. And I believe we were able to secure an Illinois congressman's co-sponsorship on the day of the bus-in from the conversation that had happened in his room. Is that right?
Exactly. The same day. And so, it doesn't get any better than that, Karina.
Yeah. So when you can go and you can have fun and you can learn, but you can also make things happen, I just am not sure you're, like you said, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. For anyone interested in going to a future bus in, if you're at a live meeting, and want to ask about it, do seek out Karina and, you know, talk to her about, becoming involved at that level. The lifeblood of associations, I'm going to do my little pitch, is always getting new folks involved. And so with that in mind, Karina, as you know, you have, you know, gone through a number of bus-ins and live meetings and served as president of the organization. What would you say to the Karina of 20 years ago about, being a woman in transportation? What's the advice that the current Karina will give to Karina of 20 years ago?
Right. Well, back then, 20 years ago, there were not as many women involved in the association. And so that has really been a neat change for me to be a part of and to witness. And now I know we have more female board members, more females on the exec track by adding Kim Worcester this year. We've got more female members represented in our vendors, suppliers, and OEM ranks as well. And so I would say just continue to be there and have a voice, because it is just as important to share thoughts and not just about the industry, but the impact that student transportation has on women. And that the impact women can have on student transportation. Always a fan of more voices and different voices. So I think I would have told myself 20 years ago to be more involved in the beginning. It took me a while to warm up. And some of that was intimidation. Some of it was I only viewed it as a job. Some of it was I didn't quite understand the benefits of an association or involvement in, and now I see that. So my advice to anybody thinking of getting involved, women or men, but especially to women, is come on, jump in. It's an opportunity to help network. Sometimes working moms don't always take the time to network because they try to spend that incremental time they have outside of work with their families and doing things that need to happen at home. And so I would say this is a really good chance to kind of kill two birds with one stone, be engaged and help the industry tell our story, but also start to build that network and build your relationships that will no doubt help you down the road.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great advice. So it is March. You are closing out Women's History Month at NSTA, the bus stop, but it is also March Madness for both the women and the men's brackets. So, Karina, before you go, let's start with the men. We're down to the Sweet 16. Have any games stood out to you so far, and who do you think is going to, you know, cut down the nets in a few weeks?
Oh, you know what? I have never done well in brackets, but I think that's because I choose my winners based on proximity. So I've got Marquette, Purdue, and Illinois all continuing to advance. I loved watching Yale win. That was really exciting. Actually, I think the neatest part of that, I read an article, certainly hoping it's true, about how the band could not make it out for that first game where they won. And so the University of Idaho band found this out and they learned Yale's fight song and they put on Yale t-shirts and they played for the basketball team. And so I just, stories like that make this whole event and the whole month so incredible, and to hear goodwill stories like that. So that's, when you talk about favorite games, I think that was it, just because I think that's a fantastic story.
Yeah, absolutely. Another Midwestern team of note is Oakland University, took down the giant that is University of Kentucky.
Yeah, so that was a three-point game, right?
Yeah.
So I don't do all the research to pick. I just pick based on a home team. So for the men's, it was more local. For the women's, Kurt, since it's Women's History Month, how can we not talk about Caitlin Clark? I think I even talked about her in my podcast last year because it was the first time I'd ever watched a women's tournament game. And she continues to be incredible. Although I will tell you, their first round game was against my Crusaders this year. That was tough to watch. Crusaders played in to make it 16 seed. And gosh, they put up a really good first quarter. And then after that, I think everybody knew Caitlin and the team was going to take it away. But it's been neat to watch, but I think even more so fun for me to read the headlines about the women's tournament and how they've had a surge in viewership. They've had an increase in ticket prices. I think their final four tickets at this point are even more expensive than the men's. And because of all that increased interest, there's needed to be a change in how sponsors think about the tournament. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so for me, that's quite interesting to start to see NCAA women's basketball step up and increase in viewership and have such more of an interest in a spotlight, especially for young women around the world. So that's fun for me. The games are fun, but reading about what's happening because of the additional attention and then perhaps doing a better job of telling their story, I think that's more fun for me to read and watch.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, it's interesting because I was channel surfing the other day, and you know, cause there's so many games on that you just want to kind of get to the game that's going to pique your interest, right? So I'm skipping through and I'm looking for the men's game, and as I'm surfing, I see Iowa, and I gotta tell you, I had to stop because I wanted to see how she's doing, you know. So I think the matchup I really want to see is South Carolina against Iowa, and that will be like an epic, you know, Ali versus Frazier, you know, kind of thing. Like, who is the best? And to have them. So that's my wish for that to happen on the women's bracket side. On the men's side, Karina, I am at a loss that Purdue is not in your kind of local proximity discussion. John Benesch is going to be very upset.
Yes, he is. He sure is. He'll remind me of that too.
So, where I come from, and once again, you know, I think it's interesting that we all kind of root for the underdog, and it's like, oh, if this team goes very far, you know, wouldn't that be great to see? But I also think once in a while, the teams that have proven themselves throughout the course of the year kind of like deserve to be there as well. You know, if they're one of the top teams, and on that side, so on the men's side, I'd love to see a Purdue versus UConn, you know, final there. And let's kind of have these, you know, programs that have been very strong this year kind of deserve to go to the finals, you know, be there. That's just my, you know, wish, but I hope I see it on both the men's and women's side.
Yeah, me too. I mean, in the end, we all want a good game, right? If we're going to sit down and take time out of our day, we want to see a good game. But it sure does seem like the women deserve this spotlight that's currently on them, and that's pretty neat.
Yep, for sure. Well, Karina, once again, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us at NSTA, the bus stop. You know, once again, you're transitioning position from leadoff hitter to now batting cleanup, both very important positions in the lineup. If folks want to know more about National Express, where can they go to find that information?
Probably start with our website, nellc.com, or reach out to me.
Great. Once again, so we're closing the door on another another chapter of Women's History Month at NSTA 2024. Karina, thanks for taking a few minutes out. Always great to talk to you on NSTA The Bus Stop. Wish you well, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Kurt. Thanks for highlighting women in the industry and Women's History Month. We always appreciate it.